This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. We do have some music of the river. Have a listen, and I hope it inspires you. Okay, well, that is Sarsaparilla, and they are a delightful band, have been here before, and no doubt will be back again. But tonight, they are going to be at the Sand Dune in Manzanita, and so you can catch them there. And as far as I know, that's the only place they're playing right now, but if I find something else, I'll let you know. And we started out with the Shiphorns, and that was actually from 2012. We weren't able to get a really good recording this year, but you get the idea. It's a very special time. This is right at midnight, bringing in the new year with the horns of the river. And speaking of special and perhaps magical things, I have two guests here with me, and one of them, Peter Griever, has a show opening it's tomorrow night, by golly, although the show has been up for a little while. The reception is tomorrow evening, and I really hope to see this show because I've been looking at this picture for quite a while. So welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
Good timing. And we're going to let him tell us about the show. He was actually chosen as the individual artist grantee for 2014. And I have Susie Simon here also. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
And Susie is a board member of the Cannon Beach Arts Association, and she'll tell us a little bit more about the general artist grant project, how you might want to get involved. And first you'll listen to Peter tell you whether or not it was a good thing. I suspect it is. And then Susie will also tell us a bit about other shows, the juried shows coming up. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And you are my first guests of the new year, so kind of special for me. So, Peter, was it a good thing to get this award?
Yes, I was very lucky. It's the second year I applied for it, and I got lucky. And there was a lot of good competition, so...
Did you get it the first year, too?
Oh, no.
No. Okay, I was going to
say. Try again.
No. Well, that's... I've heard people say, don't be discouraged. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And how did it come about? What is it that you offered? I see your work here, but I want you to describe it because, I'm going to tell what I have, and then you're going to either correct it or just add to it.
All right.
A year-long project making detail rich, and I can vouch for that, spirit/fairy houses inspired by Victorian fairy paintings and vintage children's books. Is that a good general description?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so now tell it to us in English.
Okay, when I was a little boy, I loved going to the library with my mother. My dad was working. And being small, the children's books were huge. You know, they're like twice the size that they are to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved all the beautiful, magical pictures, fairy tales and other worlds, dream worlds. And this kind of stayed with me pretty strongly until I became a teenager, perhaps. And as an adult, eventually I missed it. So I started going back and exploring that, doing paintings of fairies. And in 2004, I went to a festival called the Fairy Worlds Festival. and I met the famous fairy artist Brian Froud and his wife Wendy.
Where was that?
At Horning's Hideout.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I started seeing a lot of people in fairy costumes, and I realized these people are even deeper into it than I am. And I started having the idea to do it three-dimensionally. And it took a while, but eventually I started building fairy houses.
And what do you build them out of?
Oh, it's mixed media. I make them from wood and recycled wood that I find in the city, twigs, branches, wood glue, stones, copper wire.
Tell me, how large is this? I can't get a sense of it. Is that on purpose, or is
No, it's hard to get a sense of. Uh-huh. It kind of messes with your mind, the scale. Mm-hmm. Most of them have a 12-inch base, but they're different widths and heights because they're asymmetrical and organic.
Wow, because the way this is pictured, it looks like a full-grown house, doesn't it? I mean, with the branch overhanging
yeah,
and
I can
everything.
See that.
I could see just stepping right in.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let me go back a little bit. You went from your fascination with it and then coming back to it. Where did the art background come from? Had you been studying art? Had you been making art, or why?
Well, I grew up in a family of artists, so basically I've been making art since I could hold a crayon. And I don't think that I have any more talent than the average kid. But what happened is that in most families, when you scribble in your parents' book with a crayon, they slap your hand and take away the crayons. But in my family, they put down clean paper and said, this is where you do the scribbling.
Wow.
This is where you draw. Not in the book.
Right. But yeah. Redirecting you in a positive way. And your parents live in Cannon Beach.
They do.
And make art in Cannon Beach.
Yeah,
and have actually been in these very seats right here at Arts.
They have a small gallery in Cannon Beach.
And that's the Grievers, who, let's see, they've been making art for a long time. So did you actually at some point do any academic studies in art?
I've been to three art schools.
Oh, okay.
But strangely, I have learned more about painting on the internet since getting out of school than I did in all three schools put together.
Please expand on that. How is that?
YouTube has become a really awesome resource. If you just type in like watercolor or oil painting, there's all these free tutorials.
Oh, wow.
And some of the artists are really at a very high level. And then Wikipedia is another excellent source for technical information. See, in the three art schools I went to, none of my painting teachers made a single brushstroke in front of me. They would just talk. But if you go like to YouTube, you can see clear demonstrations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's excellent information. For
advanced Chinese painting techniques, no less.
Yeah. Visual artists out there, take heed for sure. So I mentioned that the show did open on the 21st of December, and it's going to run till the 25th of January. So you have all month, but the most fun thing is to come to the artist reception tomorrow evening. And where did you do your work? Do you have a studio somewhere, or did you do it in your home or on the run or what?
I live primarily in a very small studio in Portland, and I'm a part-time Cannon Beach resident. So a lot of the work was done, the bulk of the work was done in my small apartment in Portland. And then the last month, I basically took over my father's studio. He was very kind. He was very patient. And it became really messy.
That's great. And he does not do this kind of work.
No, I'm the only one in my family that's interested in fairies. But once I got the grant, they realized I was serious about this project.
Okay.
And they were very supportive.
Great. That's wonderful. And actually, for full, even more disclosure, Peter's sister, Lotta Griever, used to be a programmer here on KMUN way back in the day. So it's a whole family affair. I'm wondering, you mentioned glue, wood glue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that work in an apartment? Isn't that toxic or no?
That's a good question. I have used toxics in the past, never liked it. I would wear a respirator whenever possible. Mm-hmm. I've had epoxy glue poisoning twice. So now I've become very cautious. The kind of wood I was using, I guess I'll do a little plug for the company, Tight Bond 2, weather-resistant wood glue. And for those who are technically oriented, it's Elphitic resin. Works like a charm, very low odor, not a problem. The only thing is, if you're going to be doing a lot of techniques with your hands, you want to wear latex gloves or vinyl gloves.
Because you don't want it sticking on
It'll do strange things to your skin, like turn it a jaundiced yellow.
Okay. Yeah. Nah, better not. Okay. Okay, so this is all at the Cannon Beach Gallery. I'm going to switch over to Susie now and let her talk a little bit about... Well, you know, before I get to you, let me just mention that in addition to Peter at the gallery is painter Carl Annala. I'm not quite sure. It's Annala, with renderings of quiet wreckage of the forest. He wrote that the forest is a cathedral. It sounds like it goes quite well with your work, actually. The forest is a cathedral, and my heaven lies in a quiet wreckage of the forest. So, he finds the most chaotic areas of the forest, and then it sounds like a blend of the actual twigs and the paint. So the artwork, photography, painting, and nature. So it's should be a nice. Now, are your pieces? Let me just ask. Are they on stands?
They
all
are.
The
I'm really happy about that. You can walk around them.
Oh, good.
Get a three-dimensional view.
Yeah, the way it should be. Actually.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a great gallery, the Cannon Beach Gallery. One of my favorites. So, now, Susie, thanks for your patience. You're a board member, and how long have you been working with Cannon Beach Arts Association?
5 years. I've been on the board for 5 years.
Okay. Have you lived here for...
I've lived here since 2002.
Okay. So you took a little bit of time for yourself, and then you got involved in the arts.
I am a painter. I'm an encaustic painter.
That was and the question.
Yeah.
Arts background.
Yes, and yes. My work can be found at Whitebird Gallery. Little plug for Whitebird, which is wonderful.
Another wonderful gallery, yeah.
And so this will be my fifth year on the board of the Art Association, and I'm lucky enough to be head of the committee that chooses the individual artist for the grant every year. And so for the past 3 years, we have chosen unique individuals and incredible year-long projects that have been so exciting. We're really, really lucky.
Who were your past?
Some of our past winners would be the Fisher Poets from Astoria, who put forth a proposal to create an anthology of poetry written by fishermen while they were at sea.
Is that the 7-volume anthology?
I'm not sure it's 7 volumes, but I know they get together for a weekend.
Well, every year,
every
the end
year.
Of February, for 17 years, actually,
yes.
Is Fisher Poets Gathering.
Yes,
but
we started that with a grant. Isn't that amazing? And they end the weekend with a reading.
I had no idea.
Not quite the end. They end it with a big party, but they're
in Cannon Beach.
In Cannon Beach. And Jan Broderick was
John
Broderick. Thanks. Right? Yeah, he spearheaded the whole proposal.
Okay, well, now that, I often wondered why they end up in Cannon
That's
Beach
why.
When they've spent the entire intense weekend here.
Yes.
Now
yes.
I understand why. I had
yes.
no idea.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And another winner last year. Year's award went to Jessica Sund, who used her historical background to create a series of fiber items, included a heavily brocaded green velvet cloak, and spent a year crocheting and sewing and created 5 unique garments.
Did she make any hoops?
She did not.
That's one of her other talents.
She did not
it?
Make hoops, no. Grant Wood received, he lives in Nehalem now, and he received a grant to produce a volume that indicated where an artist could find, distill, create pigments from native plants and berries.
Yes.
And he created these pigments and then distributed them to three artists, a watercolor oil and acrylic artist, who used the pigments that Peter created for our show. So, I mean, just amazing things happen with this grant.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
So when is the... Do you have your 2015 artist already?
What we've decided for 2015 is to postpone the 2015 program and to lead it on into 2016, and really strong encouragement for people. If you've been turned down, if you're thinking of a project that you'd like to devote a whole year of your life to, please apply. If you need help with the application process, we'll guide you through it. October 1st is the deadline. We're pleading with you. come and take our money and create a year of just really delving into your thought process and your imagination, and we're rooting for you.
Yeah.
So please,
this is
please
wonderful.
Join us.
And the deadline is October. So
October 1st.
So
it's next
10
October.
Months.
Yeah. They have 10 months to come up with a proposal.
There's no excuse.
Right.
Well,
get a vision.
To take their money.
Well, absolutely.
There you go.
We want to give you our money.
Wonderful.
I'd like
how do they do that, by the way? Do they go on the web?
They go on the web, online, canonbeach.org.com, and they will find an application form.
Okay.
And the application form will walk you through the process. We do need to see the work, slides, photographs of the work before the proposal is considered.
Okay. And the website is canonbeacharts.org. And the phone number, I believe, is 0744, is that right? 436. Mm-hmm. It's not written here, but I think it's 436-0744.
That's right.
With a 503 in front of it. And you need even if you're not thinking you're not interested in that, it's a good idea to go to the website and see all the shows that are coming up, because there are some fabulous shows, including in May our friend Shirley Gittleson turns 90, and there'll be a retrospective for her. So that's going from one end of the spectrum to the other. So, and do you have anything to tell us about some of these shows?
I would like to get back to Peter for a minute.
Sure, please.
Okay. Peter, could you describe your process from the ground up, the actual physical building of an individual fairy house? Because I know that we've worked closely together, and it's kind of the unseen elements of the world. It's the work that Peter has done underneath the surface of the structure itself. He's created magic, and most people will never be able to see it because the structure is completed. And so, Peter, would you mind?
That's very.
Don't mind at all. Thank you.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
That's very powerful. It's it reminds me, if you'll let me just mention, at the Zen monastery in Klatskanai, when they were putting in a new floor, a bamboo floor, they invited people to come and write blessings on the underfloor, and then they were covered over. So no one will ever see them, but the blessings are there, and it sounds as like your magic is
actually, you're just giving me a great idea I never had before. the process I've been using is living primarily in the city. I would just keep an eye out for free boxes or next to dumpsters, and I got a coffee table from Thailand, and I cut it up with my aggressive American hand saw into 12-inch squares. That was my floors. And when I would see that, like, a storm would break a big tree branch, or maybe a truck that was too big to park in the neighborhood but parked in the neighborhood to break a big tree branch, I'd drag them home. And I could often be seen in the streets of Northwest Portland with 6 and 7 foot tree branches completely covered with leaves trailing behind me.
They said, "This is a country kid. What's he doing here?"
And once when I was climbing the stairway to my second floor apartment, there was a man and his mother on the stairs, and they saw me and just broke out in great laughter at the sight of this guy dragging this thing up the stairs. And I just laughed too, because
right.
I could see it from their angle. And I also worked a lot with a Japanese hand saw.
Uh-huh.
And I would just glue them all together. And a lot of my roof structures are created from copper wire, some are aluminum wire. And if you go to the gallery and you kind of bend down and peek in there, you can see really elaborate spider webs of wire supporting the roofs.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the big shapes first, and then medium, then the details.
Wow. Well, you know, when you say that about the roof, and I'm looking at this one that looks like it's, I'm not sure what it's made out of.
Those are wooden shingles.
They
but
are.
Miniature.
Miniature shingles.
Yes. I cut them all with scissors, and I shattered my first pair of scissors and finished with my second.
And they're made out of?
Of wood.
Of wood. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was another, in addition to the floor right here, when I was in Japan, this one you had to pay for, but you could, what you were paying was a donation to the temple, and they gave you one of the roof tiles, and they were curved, and again, you could write on them,
yeah.
And then they went on the roof, and you never saw them again. So now I'm thinking, ooh, wow, but I'm going to definitely peek underneath as much as possible. There's nothing in the house, though. Is that right?
No, I had dreams of having them furnished. But, you know, we can only do so much in a year.
That's right. Well, we have some miniature folks here in Astoria, some miniature artists who make furniture and paintings and stuff. We'll have to introduce you. And it sounds like you're there and from the other angle. Very exciting, very exciting. I like the idea of placing it out in nature, though, too. I mean, obviously it won't last if you leave it there, but it looks beautiful surrounded that way.
I didn't have the idea for them to be outdoor houses until about my third house, and then I switched over and I started using weather-resistant wood glue and outdoor materials.
Oh.
So I'm building the 6 out of 9 can go outdoors.
Oh, my goodness.
But
great.
I'm still learning my craft,
uh-huh.
And I'm sure the rain is going to come in sideways through the windows.
Sure. Yeah, and we are here, and impermanence, after all, is part of life. So, but that they would last a little bit longer, that's fantastic. Okay.
And some of the windows look like they're made of cobwebs.
This is
true. How did you do that?
This is true. One house has 11 panels, which are copper wire spider webs.
Oh, my.
A test of patience.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The whole thing sounds like a meditation with skill and a sense of humor, dragging stuff through the town. Well, it's beautiful. I want to congratulate you on getting the grant and then also on staying with it. I don't know. I'm not even going to ask whether that ever happens. If someone gets the grant, they must, you know, they're signing away or signing on to.
It never happens because there's a 5-page contract with legal and financial penalties to keep everyone sober and on track, and it sure did.
Well, good. I mean, you know, sometimes we need a little discipline there, huh? Mm-hmm. So, okay, so this is tomorrow evening, the show with Peter Griever, and also joining him is Carl Anala, and the show runs until January 25th, and hopefully we'll get people up for the next few shows, too. I do want to mention that there is a juried show coming up in February, and the submission date is Friday, January 30th. Boy, you really have to be right on it. You have 6 hours to get your art in, and that night there's also going to be a bit of a mix and mingle, so there'll be time. We'll tell you more about that later, but thank you so much for coming in.
Sunday from 2 to 4 is going to be a tea party for children and adults at the Cannon Beach Gallery with our fairy house theme.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
So all types of little sweet trees. treats and teas, and we hope you can all have a magical experience.
Okay, tell us again, that's Sunday.
Sunday.
Time?
2 o'clock.
Okay, and that will be a tea party.
A tea party.
Amongst the magical.
Right, and please go to the website, mm-hmm. again, Cannon Beach
Arts.
arts.org, mm-hmm. and check out the starting time
for it.
And join us, yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for coming
in. Thank you.
I look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And I have a little bit of music here for you. And then we have a live musician coming in to share his music. And what's up right now is John Stowell, who has been here several times. John is a jazz guitarist, and he will be at the Cannon Beach History Center tonight at 7 p.m. on KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And that's Area. Ooh! Come on back now. We may play some more from you, but not right this second. That is Ariel from my guest, David L. Douglas, from his album Peacemaker. And I've asked him to play us one more tune on Arts Live and Local here, KMUN and KTCB. David, where can people find your album?
It's on iTunes, Amazon.com, through Tate. I signed a record deal for that album with Tate Records, but they distribute it, and I would say just do a basic search, you know, just David L. Douglas. And I had to add the L because there's another artist out there who is David Douglas, and he has quite a few albums out,
okay,
and everything.
Okay.
And he's a techno guy, and I'm not, so I didn't want, you know,
yeah,
not that, you know, I mean, I just wanted to, you know,
no,
so
that's
I added
good.
The L.
David L. Douglas, and the name of the album is Peacemaker, but you may get a different cover, but you'll get the same fabulous music. So David's going to, what are you going to play?
I'm going to play another song since I have the guitar tuned up to this particular
tune.
And this was this song is I'm going to call it Inner Vision, and there's a video of this song on YouTube right now too.
Oh, wow.
From this show the other night. So I'll whip this one out.
So this is also new music, not on the album.
Not on the album.
Okay.
I guess I should be playing it. But anyway,
no, that's great. And find the album, or you can give a call. Do you have a website or anything like that?
Facebook. We're putting together a web page right now. But I just
So just go to David L. Douglas and find him, and he lives in Tillamook. And he does acoustic guitar. So.
And they can get a sample too on Reverb Nation if they go there of some of the other stuff that I have out
Sounds
there.
Sounds good. He's going to give us some music, and then I'm going to bring it down a little bit and tell you what else is going on. Thanks, David L. Douglas.
Thank you.
with David playing in the background. Let me just tell you some of the things that are going on. There's lots more, but I can't get it all out there. Cedar Teeth is playing at the Sand Trap tonight at 7 p.m., the way we weren't. And Saturday at the Voodoo Room in Astoria, Sunday at the Fort George in Astoria. Spirit Dance at Pine Grove in Manzanita, 6 to 8 tonight. John Stowell, 7 o'clock at the Cannon Beach History Center. Sarsaparilla at the Sand Dune at 9 o'clock tonight. The Adrift Hotel has its fabulous musicians changing all the time. Saturday, Center for Contemplative Arts in have a reception for the meditation and painting classes from 3 to 5 at the NCRD. Astor Street Opry Company auditions The Real Story of Little Red Riding Hood, noon to 2. And the Sou'wester is having a full weekend, a women's weekend. Men are welcome, but they can't take part in workshops, the Full Moon Gathering. It's quite fabulous. You might want to call 360-642-2542. Lindsay Feathers will be giving a concert tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Delta Country and Rock and Roll, Slide and Finger Picking, along with Guido Lutke on Washboard and Washtub Bass. And also Saturday night, the Cannon Beach Gallery, 5 to 7 reception with Peter Griever, my former guest, and Sunday at 2 p.m. Tea Party for everyone. And the Tillamook Association for Performing Arts has auditions for Dead Ringer at noon at the Barn Playhouse. Crackpots are playing at the Sand Dune at 9 o'clock. Sunday, the Lightbox Photographic Gallery right here in Astoria. That is the deadline, is midnight Sunday night. Whoa! It's a call for submissions for the photographic nude. So get your information to them by Sunday night. Robert Goyevich of Blur Magazine is the juror, and you can write to lightbox-photographic.com. There's a labyrinth walk at Grace Church, 1545 Franklin, from 3 to 6. And the Seaside Brewing is having 7:30 has band Less Cash. Tuesday. Peninsula Players auditions for Little Shop of Horrors Tuesday and Wednesday, 6:30 at the River City Playhouse. And the Ocean Park Library has Page Turners with Caleb's Crossing by Geraldine Brooks from 2 to 4. Thursday, the Lower Columbia Danish Society, Portugal to Spain, pilgrimage. And today at 4 o'clock, starting in a few minutes from 4 to 7, is a memorial for our good friend Steve Russell. And I hope that you all have a good, safe, healthy new year.